Well, here we are again, XFM, on a Saturday. Just gone 1 o'clock, Steve, mm-hmm. if I'm very much mistaken. But we're not here as such. We're away again, gallivanting around. We've got to do the special sort of best of again.
Okay.
Which we did a few weeks ago. So this is the best of the last 3 weeks. which I think is, I mean, I think it's the best 3 weeks we've ever had. But I'd like it condensed into 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, some great music as well in there.
Yeah, there'd be some great music interspersed with fine chat that you've already heard.
Yeah.
But except this bit. This bit's new. We've actually, out of the kindness of our heart, we've come in last week.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've done a few clips just because we felt a bit guilty about shooting off.
Yeah,
and leaving.
I mean, even now, having heard this link, I'm beginning to wonder if it was worth our time.
Oh, dear.
You know, I've said in the past to you, Rick, that my grandparents, so I love them dearly, but it's like, for the last 30 years, they've been waiting to die.
I know,
it's
yeah.
like they just sort of, it's like, you know, the novelty wore off of life.
Just, life in the 50s.
Yeah, they got kind of bored of it. Life, yeah, in the 40s, it was brilliant. All sat around the old Joannas, the bombs yeah. fell, singing, they loved that. The 50s, you know, that was great as well, because that was the post-war years. It was, you know, it was a bit tight in the pocket, but it was alright, everyone pulled together. And then the 60s came along, all the crazy music, the funny hair.
Let's stay in bed.
Yeah, exactly, and they basically stayed in bed. And it was one Christmas when my grandmother said to my dad, what do you like for Christmas? What do you fancy for Christmas? And this must have been, well, I don't know, 20 years ago. She said, what do you fancy for Christmas, Ron? And he went, well, you know, I could do with a nice big kind of warm winter overcoat. She said, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that, because your father will be dead soon. It's what you can have is. Meaning my granddad. Well, to be honest with you, my father's still waiting. Which is good news. Good news for my grandfather. Less good news for
he's
my dad.
Freezing. He's freezing. He's freezing. He finds out, how is he today? He's fine. Okay. Oh, I'm freezing.
It is such a weird mindset, that. I think it's that, to me, is what sums up people from that older generation, the 40s and 50s. And it seems to me that you've got that kind of mindset. It's like you were born in the 30s. And whenever you talk of your childhood, it's like you had, like, a baked potato to take to school. And a stick is a Christmas
gift.
The
other thing is, I think that that sort of generation, it seems that the man is dependent on the woman.
Mm.
There's a total dependence.
Oh, absolutely,
If she dies, he's done.
Yes.
He's done for. Yeah. It just pine away. If he dies, she's got 30 years of pottering.
Absolutely, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and going to, like, you know, the youth club and the church.
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
It's sort of like that. It's sad. Of course, it's sad for them, but it's sort of not the end of their life.
No, sure.
And it sort of is the other way around. I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
That's a little melancholy thought for
I know, I've really
time.
Brought it. You've brought it down. This isn't a nice show at all. This is terrible.
Well,
we're going to have
really
people just killing themselves.
Well,
what?
Well, I didn't really want to make it a Christmassy type show because I don't really like it.
Oh, he's done it again. Well, he did Christmas once, didn't like it.
No, my dad always said-
Oh, right, steady on.
Dad said Christmas morning was for, like, you know, for me. So he used to stay in bed.
Mm.
So he never-
That's brilliant. That's a great thing, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Christmas morning's for you. Run wild, do what you want. Just don't bother me.
So I'm going to Honolulu for 2 weeks.
That's great. Dad, it's Christmas. Do I have to do anything? No.
So my mum used to get up, because she used to like to see me face light up, you know, when I open the presents. And then,
to give me fireworks.
And then, then I'd have to go to my bedroom from about 6 o'clock onwards, because, like, my mum and dad were into having big Christmas parties, and I wasn't, like, old enough to go.
Right.
So they'd say, right, you know, you've had your fun there, you go up to your bedroom, stay in there.
Really?
Yeah, I remember one year, right, I got a train set, that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
Right? It's brilliant. playing with it all day. I thought, I don't mind about the party, I'm happy staying up here playing with this. Brother comes in, he's had a few, right, he's going, yeah, give us a go on your
train. How old is he?
He's a bit older than me, so he might have been like, let's see.
Well, let him be 18.
Probably about 18, 19,
and
something
how old
like
you?
That. I was, well, I had a train set, so, I don't know, about
14.
Something like that, yeah. Right, so I'm playing on that, loving it and stuff, and then he comes in and goes, oh, give us a go. He turns the transformer up to, like, 14. He went really fast for about 5 seconds, broke it, and then he went back downstairs.
Wow.
So Christmas, I hadn't even got
sounds
to Christmas
like
Day.
The, Conservative government with, British Rail.
Satire,
Rick, well, I just saw that, there's satire. There's only satirical shows listening or magazines.
It doesn't work in any way, because there's the analogy falls down, no, apart from there being a train.
Think it through, though, British Rail was trains.
Yeah.
And the government broke the trains in many, well, they didn't break them, like, not officially breaking them, but they kind of-
It does work, it's perfect.
Oh, I'm pretty pleased with that.
And I can't- and no one's asked him to be on Have I Got News For You.
It's weird, isn't it?
Because
it's strange that when you've got a satirical mind that's as quick as that.
Yeah,
all
and
right.
It's broke your little train set. So what did you do?
I just, like, watched telly and had some sausages.
I bet you were happy with that, though, weren't you?
It's a bit annoying, though, isn't it, when your main present of the year has been broke.
And did it ever get it fixed?
No, that was it. That was it. Put away.
I'm intrigued why your parents wouldn't let you come and join in the festive fun. Was it like really debauched down there? Was it like eggnog everywhere?
Well, no, but I mean, that's fair enough. Six seems a little bit early, but I just think, you know, if your kid, you know, he had his fun, put him to bed. Put him to bed at eight, maybe.
And you think so on Christmas Day? I thought that was a day for family.
Well, not if there's a party going on.
Well, don't have the party on to Christmas Day.
Well,
that's
another option.
Yeah. Your parents are weird, aren't they? A strange breed.
Well, and I think that was the year, right? You're talking about buying presents and stuff. I think I did treat my mum to that. I didn't buy my dad anything. I think that was, like, when I got a bit older, he used to get my dad something, because he wasn't that bothered anyway.
No.
Mm. So, got my mum, it was a cheap shop, right?
Of course.
Thank God for that.
Called Snips, right? So I went in there and I thought, let's see what I can get her. And remember, Victoria Plum?
I don't think so.
Well, it's like a fairy character.
Right.
Right? And my mum's into gnomes and stuff, right? So I thought, right.
She must be pleased with you then.
Victoria Plum. I was thinking, is that one of the neighbours? Is it like a brandy liqueur?
Do you remember Victoria Plum?
Victoria Plum?
Victoria Plum, yeah, it's like a little fictional sort of character, right?
Okay.
So I saw it, I thought, yeah, she'll love that, right? So I did my paper round, saved up for 2 weeks, right?
Aww.
Got that sorted, went to Snips, bought the Victoria Plum. Next day, I'm in town with her, right? So I think, I know what I'll do. I said, come in here a minute, right? So we go in and we're looking around, and I tested her, right? I went, look at that there, that's all right, isn't it? And she goes, oh, it's bloody awful.
Oh, Carl, oh, God.
So then Christmas Day comes, and I said, don't bother opening it. She said, no, why?
Why did you still give it to her?
So, well, it's too late, I'd already bought it.
Oh, Carl.
So she opened it, and I was like, and she said, oh, well, that's nice. I said, why are you saying that? I said, the other day, he said, it's bloody awful. She said, oh, no, I thought you were pointing at something else.
Brilliant. Oh, no!
So that's why I don't get anyone anything anymore.
Oh, God! Play record! Oh, God! Oh!
Oh, no! Gonna put my foot in a pistol!
XFM 104.9, we're not here. This next clip is one of my favourite clips. Look, it needs no introduction. Here it is.
Something else we're giving away.
Go on.
The Shining.
It's more throwing away, isn't it?
Like, once again,
is it on video?
Once again, it's on VHS.
Just because you buy it out of your own money, Carl, stop being so mean.
And I want to watch it tonight, because it's one of those films that,
So you're going to watch this video, and then you're going to send it to someone as a prize?
Yeah, it's one of them films that-
you just said yes to that without blinking?
Well, yeah. You don't think, like, Les Dennis doesn't have a quick go in the car on Family Fortune before he gives it away?
It costs £5.99.
Jim Bowen has a go at those his and her towel racks.
It costs £5.99, Carl.
Okay. This is, Carl, in the classic The Shining.
And what's the question?
Well, we might ask that afterwards.
Okay, then.
Still trying to write the book then? No?
Yes.
Good. Funny, someone told me the other day, weird thing about a typewriter, the top row of letters, the longest word you can write, is typewriter. I'll just show you. Just. That's weird, isn't it? It's just the typewriter being. You're not in the mood, are you? You're in one of those grouchy moods again that you get into when you're writing.
I'm not being grouchy. I just want to finish my work.
Yeah, it's just she's being a bit funny, a bit offhand and that.
Let me explain something to you.
Go on.
Whenever you come in here and interrupt me, you're breaking my concentration. You're distracting me. And it will then take some time to get back to where I was. Understand?
Yeah, but I just was coming in to try and cheer you up, you know, if you... I mean, I'm full of ideas as well, you know, if you're having a problem coming up with stuff. Got loads of stuff, loads of ideas you could write about. The other day I read about this airy Chinese kid.
What do you want me to do about it?
No, it's just that it could make a good book, do you know what I mean? Sort of following round.
That's swell.
Well, I'd buy it. You know. But if you don't want to know, we'll have to don't bother doing it. But, do you know what I mean? Just airy Chinese kid. It's weird because they're not normally that airy over there. Yeah, this kid caked in it. But if you don't care...
I wouldn't touch one hair on his goddamn little head.
You won't have to touch any hair on his head. Like I say, he's covered. Leave the head alone if you want. Touch his hands. He's totally covered in it, but...
I love the little son of a bitch.
Well, don't go that far. You haven't met him, but I can sort him out.
I'd do anything for him.
I don't think he'd expect that much. Just take him to the barbers 3 or 4 times a week. You know, he's a good little kid. In fact, I'll do it. I think I'll write a book on him. Yeah?
How do you think you can handle that?
Yeah.
You're not too busy, are you?
Well, I'm pretty busy. I've got to sort out some monkey facts for the show this Saturday, but I reckon I can still...
Why don't you start right now and get out of here?
All right. I will. You're going to be like that. Couldn't borrow a pen, could I? See you later.
There you go.
Haunting. Haunting stuff there. Carl Pilkington in The Shining.
You know, in the film, Jack Nicholson goes crazy because the suggestion is he's maybe possessed by demons that maybe are in the hotel. But, you know, if I was stranded in a desolate hotel, removed from all human contact with Carl, I'd go mental with an axe without being possessed by demons. That's more chilling to me, trying to get some work done and you keep wandering in.
I'm trying to get Carl to spend a couple of days in the caravan with me. Just for the hell of it. And he won't. I've offered him money, won't I? I think it'd be a great laugh, wouldn't it, Carl?
Oh yeah, great.
That would be terrifying.
No, I want to film it. I just want to film
you.
It. Like a little video diary. There's Carl there, he's just waking up.
Well, if I was stranded in there, that would be like being, I may as well be with Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees. That's more scary.
The thing the is, two of you. Ricky doesn't mess you about as much as he messes me about.
No, you see, you've given him an inch. You've given him an inch and he's taken a yard.
12:30 you got in today. In the 30 minutes between 12:30 and 1, the old bin lid on the head, he wanted to do that again.
Yep.
Squeezing my head, think he had a go at, and a karate chop on the back of the neck.
Yeah.
All in 30 minutes. Yeah. Who else can say that?
Who else can say that?
XFM 104.9, Ricky Gervais Show with Steve Merchant. Hello there.
Good.
And we're not here this week. We're off jetting around the world, so we've pre-recorded these links. The time is currently somewhere between 1 and 3 o'clock.
So a time check there from Steve Merchant.
No problem.
Yeah, and what about this weather? Isn't it warm, stroke, edit that, Carl, cold, okay, whichever one.
Mm. I'm pleased to see that the congestion charge has... had some considerable effect. Had no effect.
So just, yeah. Wasn't that great on telly last night, the film? Yeah.
I particularly enjoyed last night's EastEnders, Coronation Street, Brookside.
Okay,
yeah. But
where do we go now? Where do we go? Where do we go? Where do we go?
Oh, where do we go now? Where do we go? Oh, where do we go now?
Can rock there. That's the Guns with All Their Roses. And sweet child of mine.
On XFM 104.9.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
That was good.
It rocks.
I hope the audience was playing it loud like us.
Yeah. Ricky Gervais, Steve Merchant, Carl Pilkington. Well, look at him yawning. How rude is that?
Carl, what's wrong with you, man? Have you been up late?
A little bit.
Girlfriend was away, wasn't she, yesterday?
Yeah, I always have a problem with that. I always have because you don't go to bed, do you, early? Do you know what I mean? I just always find that thing that if, you know, you're used to living with someone,
yeah,
one of you will go, let's go to bed, then you'll go, all right. But when you're on your own, you go,
you just forget to go to bed.
I just stay up.
Okay, stop eating now, Carl. You've had all the food, that's just a plate. All right, okay.
Yeah. No, I stayed up and watched, there was a thing on about Dracula.
Right. What, Dracula?
And I found a flaw in it.
Go on.
Not the fact that is the living dead and is
nope.
Drinks blood to stay alive and he doesn't reflect
and he can
in mirrors.
Into a bat.
Well,
and you can go on.
The mirror thing, he can't look in mirrors, can he?
Well, he can look in mirrors, but he can't see himself in a mirror.
Yeah.
Right, that still doesn't work.
Go on. It doesn't work at all, Carl. It doesn't work
at all. Go
anyway.
On.
Well,
centre parting's always really neat.
His centre parting's always
really neat. How does he do it if he can't look in the mirror?
blood on the floor or something it was called. Rubbish.
I love the floor in the Dracula film is that his centre parting's too neat. How did he do it without a mirror?
Was it a documentary about Dracula?
No, yeah. There was
the real Dracula. The real Dracula.
Yeah, the real Dracula.
It's just a film. Blood on the floor or something it was called. Yeah. It's rubbish. Yeah.
We had a little lunch yesterday, didn't we?
We did indeed. That was a nightmare.
Yeah.
I hate going out with you two.
I was explaining to Carl, right? I like to excite Carl's imagination, right? And, if it involves chimps or monkeys, all the better. Brains he likes, parts of the body, deformity. You know, I know where to, you know, what buttons to push. And, I told him about this thing. I don't know if any of you out there know about this, but there's an experiment they did in the 50s, a clinical psychology experiment where there's your two hemispheres of the brain, okay? They're joined by a thing called the corpus callosum, right? Which is just a little flap of skin, like a little scartly that joins your two hemispheres. And what they did, they cut that in half, and they thought it was a cure for schizophrenia, but what it turned out to be, or epilepsy, I think, I can't remember, was that your two sides of your brains didn't function together. You couldn't get information. I was telling Carl all this thing, and one of the things I told him was that they did it on a monkey, and it fought itself over a nut. Like, its right arm was connected, you know, by its left lobe of the brain, and it was fighting over itself. And Carl went, instead of, like, thinking this is an amazing experiment, he went, would it have been happy if you'd given it two nuts?
Yeah, I know. Well, you started off by explaining it, and I remember you mentioned, because I was watching the two of you as you were describing it to me, you said, of course, one side of the brain deals with symbolism, and as you said the word symbolism, I noticed Carl drift away from looking at you, pick up his mobile phone, and start pressing buttons randomly. And I thought it was the word symbolism that got him. And I noticed it took you just a moment longer, and I think the first thing you said was, when did I lose you?
Yeah, I know I'd lost him.
It's extraordinary, and he doesn't even try to disguise it.
I said nomenclature at one point as well.
Right, yeah.
And I knew I was dicing with death there. But I told you, you tried to look it up, didn't you, on the web? You didn't find anything about it,
yeah? The spelling of it's, what is it again? What's the word?
Corpus callosum.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
No point. Don't bother.
Give up.
Don't bother. So if anyone knows any interesting facts about that,
but yours hasn't been cut in half, has it, Carl? That would, again, might explain something.
I'll tell you what we will be talking about later. I don't know if you're sort of aware of them, Steve.
Go on.
Bonobos.
Oh,
I don't know much about bonobos.
I told him about them. He was looking for stuff. I said, put in bonobo. He was having no luck with chimp. And they're a form of chimpanzee, but, they're even closer to us, evolutionary speaking. They've got their social groups are more like ours, they're more intelligent. And he was loving it, weren't you?
So is it human bonobo Carl? is that how it works on the evolutionary ladder?
Chimp Carl.
Yeah. So we're talking about bonobos, you're excited about that?
Yeah,
that's coming up in monkey news?
No, I think it's a bit of a monkey bonus.
Oh, that was great. That was very, very funny.
What
indeed.
A wonderful clip that was.
I enjoyed it.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Wow. A few weeks ago, wasn't it, really?
I think it was last week.
We'd have to have very, very bad memories not to remember that hilarious clip. I'd like to hear that again maybe in a couple of weeks' time when I'm away.
Yes, absolutely.
It's embarrassing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, but the good thing is, on telly, I feel a bit guilty about putting out shoddy rubbish because I'm getting paid an awful lot.
Yes.
But here, you know, I don't give a sh**. They can bleep that.
They will do. They will do.
Bit of David Bowie. When's that ever hurt anyone, Steve?
Never.
Lady Stardust off Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, Steve Merchant. Carl Pilkington is in the middle of educating me. Colon, then. Educate me.
Did I tell you the time when, the doctor said, I was gonna die?
Alright, keep talking.
Right, ages ago, must have been about 15, right? And, at lunchtime there was this, we used to have a choice of stuff to do at lunchtime, right? We used to have, like a burger place that had an arcade machine in it, right? So we used to go there and play on that and have a burger. Or there was this baker's, right, that my mum worked at and, did great cakes and stuff, right? So, she used to, like, bring some home and that, but she couldn't always bring them home every night because, you know, they'd cost money and she used to get them for free. And they used to say they'd rather chuck them away than give them to the staff because there's a chance that the cream might be off.
Right.
Right, so they used to chuck them round the back. So I used to go round the back with my mate and eat a load.
Brilliant. Scavenging, yeah. Eating out of bins.
No, it was really, it wasn't out of bins. They were still in trays, but they just stacked them up near the bins, right? So this got out. I mean, it used to be a chocker. Yeah, once the school found out, everybody used to go there and it'd be like, well, have a cake.
The headmaster crying for fighting the kids off.
Right, so I'd have, you know, you'd just eat, I don't know, 6 jam donuts or something, and then you'd spend your dinner money on the arcade machine.
Brilliant.
Right? So it was a good afternoon, really, right? So you'd do that, and this one day I must have had 6 or 7, jam donuts, a few Congress tarts.
What's the Congress tart?
Just, I love them, it's me, I can't get them in London, right? So I'd have some of them.
And if anyone maybe can get a Congress tart, for Carl in London, please let him know.
So anyway, this day, that was just a normal day, do you know what I mean? You'd, once, yeah, twice a week, you'd have a load of cake.
In your life, yeah.
Yeah, a so normal anyway day in your life. Were the frog boys there with the webbed hands and the big heads? So, and the horse in the set, yeah.
But the day after one of these days, I had really bad cramp in my belly, right? Yeah. I was like, in agony, could, yeah, hardly walk, so I said to my mum, oh.
You could hardly stagger to the free cake.
So, I was in absolute agony. I said, I think, I don't like doctors, but you'll have to get a doctor in because I don't know what it is. I can't walk. She gets the doctor around. I won't say his name, but he said, well, doesn't look like he's got long left.
Blimey.
So I was a bit like, hang on a minute, I've only had a few cream donuts.
Yeah.
My mum was panicking.
Sure.
He went. My dad came in from work. She said, oh, something's really bad with Carl. I think it's serious. He's, you know, the doctor's only ain't got long left. So he said, what? He said that and just left. So she said, yeah. He said, I'll have to call him then. So he called him up, said, what's all this about? You know, Carl hasn't got long left, how long's he got? So he goes, oh, I was only messing. He's just got, just had some bad cream. Can you believe that?
Well, the thing is,
I like the fact your mum didn't ask any questions.
I know.
She didn't go into details. Can you explain more, doctor? No, I got a shoe off.
She doesn't.
You know, I don't want to diss you or your family, but I imagine if I was there, I'd have known the doctor was joking. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I sound very arrogant there, but I imagine he went, what's he been doing? Yeah, I had about 6 cream cones. Oh, right. Oh, wow. He hasn't got long to live then. I'll see you later. Yeah. That's what I think the doctor did.
Yeah. I just love the idea your mum just let him go.
Yeah.
Terrified, thinking, yeah, well, I'm not going to probe him. He's, that's it then.
Dad comes in. Hi, honey, I'm home. Anything happened? The doctor said Carl's going to die and then left. Did he? I'll call him.
But anyway, that's why these sort of things fascinate me. So right, we'll move on to this next one, right, which is brilliant.
Go
dead
on,
short story. So, right, old woman, about 70 years old.
Yeah.
She's normally fit and healthy and stuff. Nothing wrong with her. She's having a good life. And, one day, she goes for a check to the doctor's,
yeah,
just to check herself out, because she's, yeah, getting on a bit.
Yeah.
Says, take your clothes off and that. So, she does. And, checks her out, says, yeah, you're looking good. Turn round. He said, oh, God. He says, you got a tumour on your buttock. Right? So, she goes, oh, what, can you do anything to sort it out? So they go, yeah, 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 we could book you in for an operation, it's best if we remove this. Books are in for an operation, operation day comes, strip her down and that, they're all stood round, the doctors, start to operate, it only turns out it's a pork chop that she sat on 5 years earlier and it had stuck to her buttock.
Right, Carl.
Listen,
Carl, I'm telling you now, I'm leaving. I'm never doing this show again.
No, I'm serious, honestly.
You're talking, I've never had such, what do you mean? You couldn't believe it?
No, when I read it, I said, I've got to tell Ricky
this
that.
This woman had a pork chop stuck to her ass for 5 years, you mental case. Of course she didn't.
Is a blinding record, and before that, Rick, what do you make of those adverts? They were great, weren't they?
I like them, yeah. I'm gonna buy all them products on the way home.
And that's endorsed by Ricky Gervais, he's won awards.
Yeah.
Rick, do you remember this? This was a hilarious
one. No.
No, you'll remember this. When you hear it. It was when Carl said something that was basic- well, I think for a lot of people it sounded like a lot of old bollocks.
What have we got now?
Right, so we look into animals that we get rid of. I've spoken to someone about snails, I've spoke to someone about jellyfish, and that, and, looking at cockroaches today.
She is an expert, she's just not just some random person.
No, she works in a museum, where a good museum, I said I'd give it a plug. It's the one near Knightsbridge, it's got dinosaurs and that in it, it's worth seeing.
And the Natural History Museum?
Yeah. So,
not sure. He's not sure.
This is what happened. Now, what I'll do, I'll tell you as much as I know, and then you can fill me in if I'm right or wrong, and then at the end of it, we'll get to the bottom of whether we need them or not.
Okay.
All right, so, first of all, the first thing that I found out is that, that they have 18 knees.
That's not exactly possible. They're insects, so they have 6 legs.
Yeah.
And a knee is usually the junction between femur and tibia. That's sort of classic human knee, and every other animal knee. So with 6 legs, you can only have 6 knees.
Could somebody sort of got mistaken for seeing one that was a bit double-jointed?
I think you're grasping at straws or something.
All right, well, we might have to come back to that one then.
Okay.
They can hold the breath for 40 minutes.
Well, they don't do that. Because they don't breathe in the same way as us. They breathe through little spiracles, holes down the side of the body, so, no. They're not a very apt simile, because the method of breathing is so different.
What do you mean?
Because insects have a totally different system. They don't have lungs in the way that we do, and just breathing through one part of the body. They're actually breathing through every segment of the body all of the time.
So even though they've got their mouth shut, they might be able to slide.
Nothing to do with breathing.
So
only
just
feeding.
So you see, maybe that's where someone's gone wrong. Someone's got hold of one and sort of taped its mouth up or something, and got bored after 40 minutes and said, "Well, we'll call it right."
That's a pretty unkind thing to do to an insect, even to a cockroach.
Yeah, but it's all.
You can't do that.
Yeah, but
no, pretty unkind thing to do anything, even a cockroach.
Something else I found out. They can live for a week without an head.
Well, that's true if they don't bleed to death in the process.
But the weird thing is, when I told you that they had 18 knees, you seemed a bit sort of, like, don't talk ridiculous. But yeah. Then we're talking about an animal that can live without an head. So there's a little bit of truth in that one, yeah?
Yes.
Why, when it was invented, has it got that facility? Say if someone said to humans, we could do that with humans, and, you know, if you lose your head in some accident, it gives you a bit of time to sort of go back to your family and maybe write them a note. You won't be able to have a chat, but write them a note saying, it was my own fault, and, it was nice knowing you.
Well, that would be a useful facility, I agree, but cockroaches are great survivors. I mean, they've been around for over 300 million years. They're one of the most primitive insects.
Right. Well, I've also, is it true that they do a lot of resting? Apparently they can sort of rest for 75% of the time.
Rest?
Yeah, they just sit about doing nothing.
It's probably true of a vast proportion of the world's fauna.
I mean, maybe the 25% that they are working, they're really giving it some, so it might make up.
And they're probably searching out food and, yeah, they can slow down considerably. You can chill insects in the fridge and they'll become very, very quiet. You might think they're dead.
Yeah, but I'm sure, you know, if we were sat in a fridge, you know, we'd go a bit quiet, wouldn't we, you know?
Well, you might not know much about it, of course.
Yeah, but...
Not quite reading the right sources.
Well, I've been using the internet.
I'm sure there are many useful sources that you could find there, but some of those seem to have been a little misleading to you.
So you don't agree with a lot of what I've told you there?
No.
So, cockroaches, can we get rid of them?
No.
So we're keeping them then?
I would say so, yes.
I think we should get her on more often because she sounds like she'd be a bit of an ally, really. Because she knew immediately that you were talking nonsense. She even said, I think you should be more concerned about your sources, which I've been trying to tell you for a year, right? The fact, I mean, 18 knees, where did you get that from?
It was on the internet.
They can hold their breath for 40 minutes. I mean, I don't know what you read and take on.
Mad world, don't it?
Well, if you've just tuned in, it's XFM 104.9, you've got that bit right. Ricky Gervais Show, with me, Stephen Merchant.
Hello there.
Carl is actually in a little booth. We're not in the studio, see, this is pre-recorded, we recorded this last week, because we're away, and it's sort of like the best of the last 3 weeks, since last time we were away, when we put out the best of.
Okay, what's the next one? What's the next Educating
well,
Ricky?
I don't know, see, like I say, I was looking around, and there's stuff that is interesting, right, I was looking on the web.
But there's no point.
Well, it's just that I found one about,
what's the point?
About a lad who, 8 years old.
Yeah.
But he's still breastfed. Now, I don't know if you can get anything out of that.
Is that what his mum said? So, what do you mean, I don't know if I can get anything out of that? You don't need to.
No, it's just that, you know.
Where did you read that?
That was on the internet.
Oh, well, yeah.
You're always unspecific when you mention it. It's just it was on the internet.
Well, yeah. I'm trying to think what I put in. I think I put in Y to see if I'd confuse a computer.
Ah! Go! You are...
No,
honestly.
I did a search, put in Y, and it came up with funny things that, like, why is this person doing that? Why is that? And it had a picture of this 8-year-old lad, sort of, you know, on his mum's nipple. And, it was saying, you know, is this healthy?
You sure that wasn't asking you that question?
I put in why?
Just to confuse the computer.
Like, the computer going, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Oh, look, but, yeah. Last week, I was walking, home with him, and I went, he was saying something stupid, and I went, I've got a competition for next week, let's do a phone-in, and it's called Carl Pilkington, genius or fool?
Yeah.
Right? And he went, no. I went, why not? He went, well, it'd be confusing, because they say there's no difference between genius and being a fool.
They do, though, don't they?
No, but it's rubbish, and people say there's a fine line between madness and genius, and... You know, it's a ridiculous soundbite. They don't say there's a fine line between a genius and an idiot.
Well, the people who do are idiots.
Yeah.
So what would you do there, though, just to sort of wrap that little thing up? What would you do? That lad loves his mum's milk.
What are you asking me to come up with?
No, I'm just...
A title for the story?
No. It's just what would you do? Right?
What do you mean, what would I do?
Well, it's causing a bit of a problem in the area. Right.
What area?
In America, I think it was.
Oh, America are a problem, are they? George Bush is worried about this kid who's breastfeeding at 8.
Imagine it like this, right?
Right. No, so, Carl, what are you asking me about this spurious story you saw on the internet?
I saw it on the internet. There's an 8-year-old lad, he likes his mum's milk, Yeah. And it's saying, is this right? Should it
No, it's not.
On?
But what
do you want Ricky to do about it? It's not his responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but the little town that he lives in, they're all causing an uproar, right? Going, this isn't right. You know, no. I can't let my kid play out in case he's in the garden with his mum getting a bit hungry. Right? Yeah. So,
oh, God.
What should they do? Because his mum's saying, well, he likes it.
Yeah.
And he, you know. So what do you do?
I don't know the laws.
No, but I'm not asking you to sort out the laws. I'm just saying, if you lived in that neighbourhood, what would you say? If you went up to him and said, look, everyone's getting a bit fed up with this, look.
I'd say, what would I do? What do you mean, what would I do? what are you asking me?
Right, it doesn't matter.
No, what are you asking me? What are you asking me and Steve and the public?
I'm just saying, say if you live next door to this woman.
Yeah.
Right? The kid's hungry, 8 years old. He's out playing on his bike, and he goes, "Mom, I'm getting a bit peckish." And he goes, "All right, son." She whops one out, and he starts having his milk. Right? You live next door. You're putting your washing out, and you see this going on. You're getting a bit sick of it because it's gone on for months.
Eight years, I see.
Why is it your business? Why are you such a nosy neighbour that you're concerned?
What would you do, Carl? Let's turn it back on him. Yeah. What would you do?
What's your solution?
What would you do?
Well, I thought. I'd say, right, why are you doing this? And she'd say, because he likes it. And I go, all right then, put it in a bowl first.
Jesus!
So and you think that would sort that out?
No, because I was thinking about the whole thing, right, and you do that when you're a baby, and everything's all right, innit?
Yeah.
No one bats an eyelid at a little baby having a bit of milk from its mum's breast, right?
Yeah. You'd almost say it was natural.
But you grow out of it. It's like, you don't see. It got me thinking about things you don't see. And you don't see.
Did you put this into a computer? Show me things you don't see.
What else don't you see?
Well, you don't see, like, an old man having a Twix. You never.
You know the terrible thing about all this, Steve, is he's right.
You don't see an old
man.
No,
I know that's a terrible thing.
So what they have got, right, they've made old man toffees, haven't they? They've come up with rollers.
is that a song? Oh God, you don't see an old man.
So they've got their Werthers, right?
Yeah.
So,
look at him! You think he's giving a lecture at Oxford?
It's not coming anywhere.
No, go on, sorry. Go on.
I'm just saying.
Right.
You grow out of things.
Yeah.
And the old man, I'm sure when he was a kid, he'd have a Twix.
Yeah.
But now it doesn't look right, so he's having.
It doesn't look right!
So.
Right. I don't think Werther's originals were specially designed for old people. I think they were sweets that just happened to have been made for years. Mm. That's why old people eat them.
Yeah.
They didn't go, hang on, there's a market here. I've noticed old people aren't eating Twixes. Quick, let's make some old man sweets.
But the little advert, he gives it to his grandson as well, doesn't he? He goes, I'll have a Werther's original.
No, I think it cuts though before he throws it back in his face and get me a Twix.
XFM 104.9, we're not here.
It is a bit like being Dennis Norden, playing some great, great moments from the show.
I was just imagining Dennis Norden one day, sort of just like waking up out of his stupor, he's doing this, and he'd go into the producer and go, I've just seen a couple of my programmes.
I just saw it'll be right on the night 18.
It's shit.
It is terrible.
Why didn't someone tell me? Well, we didn't want to upset you because, you know. But I've been doing it way too long. Were you going to just let me go on forever? Well, until you died, yeah. Well, why can't my son take over? Well, he's 80, Dennis.
And the jokes I'm doing, they're awful.
They're just, why have I got that clipboard?
I've written these jokes, they're not funny. There's an audience, they're laughing. What are they laughing at?
They're not laughing, they're not laughing. That's canned laughter.
Who are those audience? Who goes to an audience for It'll Be Right on the Night?
A lot of them are older than you.
It can't be right.
You know, we have 15% fatality in one of your audiences.
But I went home at Christmas, I watched one of the episodes.
Yeah.
It was with my family and friends. I said, watch this, you'll love it. Stony face, no one laughed. They all thought it was sh**.
Well, it is sh**.
Well, why didn't you tell me earlier?
We didn't want to hurt your feelings. You're an old man. You may be upward of 102.
I didn't realise.
Yeah.
Here's a problem that someone's emailed in. Yeah. We're taking emails today. If you've got a problem, a concern, or, you know, just a general query that you think Carl could answer for you. It could be about anything. It could be about some of the big kind of philosophical questions.
Yeah.
It could be you know, something to do with war or famine, anything like that. Or it could just be a personal dilemma, you know, something that's happening locally. Anyway, this seems one that I think you probably have... You and your father have probably come across this sort of dilemma in the past.
Yeah.
And I'd be interested to know what your take is on it. Let me see, this is from Lee Matthews by the look of it. He says, he lives in a suburban area where the local teenagers also live on the same road, and they're running riot. They're smashing wing mirrors off the cars, they're crashing into parked cars on their skateboards, and they're just generally making mayhem, you know, night and day. What can he do to stop this going on? The parents of the kids don't seem to give a damn. Anyone who complains to them, they just say, I'll piss off. You know, the police are useless because they never catch them in the actual act of violence, which is what they got to do to apparently convict them. So they don't know who to turn to, really. Carl, it's rather like when a little old lady went and got the A-team, you know.
And he was dressed as an elderly Chinaman.
Exactly.
She knew who he was. Colonel Decker didn't have a clue.
Yeah.
You see, it's weird, because now it has got out of hand.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? Like, years ago, when I was growing up on the estate, yeah, you had problems, but not like you have now. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
You know,
Stabbers were nice as well, weren't they?
Well, right, and...
Police are getting shorter, aren't
you? But you yourself kind of admitted in the past that you were something of a tearaway. You didn't do anything like these kids here, but...
I was scared that if I got caught doing it, my dad would go mad.
Yes.
And I remember smashing a car window by accident and legging it in the lounge and sort of pretending to go asleep on the settee. Right?
Genius.
And I heard a knock at the door.
He chloroformed himself just to be unconscious when his dad came home.
And there was a knock on the door. And I thought, oh God, this is a fella who saw me. I was chucking a stone in the air, seeing how high I could throw it.
Of course you were. Did it keep landing on your head? That would explain a lot.
And it came down.
Chucking a stone in the air, love it.
To see how far I could throw
brilliant.
It.
Brilliant.
So, you know, I wasn't bothering anyone.
Did you invent that game?
Right?
Did you get the stone for your birthday? Go and play with your stone.
He gave one to Suzanne.
Carl, go and play with your stone.
No, the thing is, right, and it came down at a funny angle, and it
of course it did.
It ate the back of this car, and the back window is the most expensive because it has that heating thing in it.
Yeah,
in case you've got a frosty window.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh God. So I legged it in, got on the settee, went to sleep, knocked at the door.
Genius. It's a brilliant plan. I couldn't be guilty. I'm asleep.
So
I love the idea.
So the thing is, our lounge used to sort of, you could see in from the door, right? So this family, who saw me do it, saw me asleep on the settee, and my mum said, go and get the door. And I sort of went, oh, as if I'd been asleep.
Yeah.
And went to the door, like, rubbing my eyes, and the fella said, what did you run off for? I saw you. I was like, oh, no. And I didn't see my dad. I went out. It was when he was working sort of evenings. So I went out so I didn't have to see my dad. And then the next day I came home from school, and my dad said, £45.
Oof.
That's all he said.
That's
he looked at me.
And then you fell asleep, and he went, wake up, you know what I said? No, £45.
Now the thing
Carl.
Is, he didn't have to do
£45, Carl. Now I know you were saving up for a brick, but you can't have it.
Yeah. Just do it.
So,
equally, if you're doing a bigger crime, you know, a bank job or a murder.
Remember to take the stocking off your head, because they wake you up and go, why have you got a stocking on your head? You just go, oh, I had a weird dream.
Right.
Okay, look, quick query for you. This is from Jay. He's got a problem here. He says, my parents won't let me ditch my studies. He's currently reading modern languages at London University.
Sure.
He wants to follow his dream, but his parents won't let him, of being a dancer, Carl. Worse than that, he says that they're trying to arrange a marriage to a bunch of minging daughters of people they know from good families. He doesn't know what to do, so he's got the arranged marriage coming along, and he's also got, you know, he basically wants to be a dancer. His parents are forcing him into something more practical.
Well, the first thing, right, I don't think
Live your dreams? The
arranged marriage thing is such a bad idea.
Okay.
Because I think too many people go on looks.
Right.
And then you soon get bored of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out the person who you're knocking about with is actually not your type.
Right.
Why don't you arrange marriages for people?
Well, I'm just saying, right, so I'd say, Jay, go along with that. I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay.
I mean, if they're really ugly, then, you know, don't go along with it. But if they're half bad, put up with it. That's
sure.
Right. The dancing.
Brilliant.
Right.
That's solved.
Brilliant.
I wanted to be a dancer. After I did the boxing, right, I joined a dancing thing just near Man United's ground, right, called Twiggies.
Right.
went along, I wanted to learn some moves.
How old were you?
Well, it was when Michael Jackson was, like, pretty big, so About 83, 84, 85, all something right. like that, around there. Wanted to do it. When I went, it was shut, and it had become like a warehouse for toilet rolls. So in a way, I wonder what would have happened.
Sorry, how is that an anecdote about you going through dancing? Well, you've told me before, you did boxing for a while, you did dancing for a while, you had a true fight in the boxing, you didn't even get in the that's not an imagine if that was a film! This is about a boy's dream of becoming a dancer. Oh, it's shut. Next on. I mean, how is that a story?
Yeah, that was Billy Elliot. Do you think it would have won quite as many awards?
Yeah, yeah, brilliant. Footloose, all right? Yeah. I'm fed up, they banned it. Let's go. Oh, it's shut. Flash dance. First, there was... it's a warehouse. Never mind. You.
I'm just saying, you know, you'll find something else. I think I got a go-kart after that. I bought a motorised go-kart and kept myself busy with that. So... There's always other things.
Just think, Alan Bennett has to sit down and really sweat over his stories.
Yeah.
He just opens his mouth.
You are a living Alan Bennett character.
So that's
solved. Well, Jay, don't worry about that. There's no emotional problems I can foresee, if you follow that advice.
So the advice there is do an arranged marriage.
If she's not minging.
Yeah. She's not completely minging.
Yeah.
And don't worry about dancing. Get a go-kart. Cheers.
This is XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky James with me, Stephen Merchant.
Hello.
You're listening to the best of basically Carl Pilkington. You don't talk to anyone, do you, in the week? You just hide in your little sound booth thing and you really don't talk to anyone, do you? Much?
Not really.
No.
No, I mean, you know, you might call up.
Yeah.
But no, I keep myself to myself.
Yeah.
Then you don't get bogged down in the office politics and stuff.
So yeah. Is there a lot of office politics here?
I don't know. I don't get involved in it.
Oh, yeah. Proved your point.
So when we're away and we're like out of action, other than Suzanne, who will you talk to of the day?
How will you get a sort of feedback from the world? How will you get sort of like input and?
I always, if ever I've got like a question on anything, the internet's sat there and I can just go online and find out.
The internet is good.
It's brilliant.
But it's not all verified.
It's not all necessarily factually accurate.
Anyone can put things onto the internet. It's that, you know, it's freaks and things that put on things like...
Well, here's one that I read in the week, right?
One.
About this woman.
Yeah.
She was a bit of a punk. And, to get her hair done like she wanted it.
Super glue.
Right, now, she got lard. Apparently it's a popular thing, you might know. Put lard on your head.
Yeah.
And you put it in the oven. Now, apparently the heat that you get from the oven is different from the sort of heat you get from an hairdryer. Right, and she had to do that to get the style that she wanted. But anyway, she comes into money or whatever, treats herself to a microwave. Right?
It's not true. Carl.
Opens the door, jams the things, you know, like the little catch, so the microwave works. She jams it with a screwdriver or a knife or something.
Yeah.
Puts the microwave on, sticks her head in, boils her brain.
Don't be ridiculous.
Right? Well, why is that ridiculous?
Boils. Her brain.
She boiled her brain.
She boiled her brain.
And this is what's good about the internet. I went straight from that, and there was a subject about brains. And do you know that Russell Crowe, when he dies, is giving his brain to charity or something, some sort of some people who can do stuff with it.
She gave hers to Pot Noodle.
Vesta.
Yeah.
Oh, that's boiling a skull.
Yeah.
That's not true. No.
It's not true, Carl. Right. Just urban myths. Someone made it up.
Yeah.
For a laugh.
They're just too convenient urban myths. Everyone said, you can tell an urban myth's not true, because it's always, this happened to a mate of mine, and when you say what happened then, they go, don't know, that was it. Was it? Was that it? Was it? Someone boiled a brain and that was it. There was no more story.
Were there any dates, locations, times? I think it was in Belgium.
There's that one that a bloke, right, was gonna get a phone call at 4 o'clock to find out if his business was, you know, okay, right? And if he didn't get the phone call, he knew he was, broke, destitute. So, dead on 4 o'clock, the phone didn't ring, so he went up to the roof, his office, and he jumped off to commit suicide. And as he was passing his window, the phone was ringing.
Oh, no.
Carl, it didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
Think it through.
Think it through. Who told that story? Who told that story? As he hit the pavement at 120 miles an hour.
He's the only person who could have known those that series of incidents.
Also, why didn't he wait, as his life's at stake, why didn't he wait till 5 past? I said, I'm gonna give it 5 minutes just in
just
case.
Just in case the lines are busy.
Yeah. And this, and what sort of bloke goes, I'll call you at 4, okay, if your business, well, call me anyway. No, no. If I don't call exactly 4, then, no, you commit suicide. Commit suicide. I would, because if I don't call at 4, that's the end of it. Well, call me anyway. No, that's not the way I work. Why can't he just call me and tell me the other way? Well, I'm telling you, I would do it. If you're bust, I don't call. Can't you just call to verify in case something goes wrong? What if he's engaged? If you want to be engaged? Just commit suicide at 4, please. It didn't happen, Carl. And the other one, right? A bloke, right? He's on a train station, and I heard it. He's waiting for a crew station, whatever, and he shits himself. As you do. And so he goes, oh, my train's in 5 minutes, I need... So he runs across to Millett's and goes, quick, Levi's, 36. The bloke just puts it in a bag, he runs onto the train, he goes into the toilet, takes his, trousers and pants off.
He's soiled.
Yes. Throws them out of the window, I won't be needing those again. Cleans himself off, open the bags, it's a jacket!
Oh.
No, it didn't happen, Carl!
It didn't happen, Carl!
At what point did he go into it and go, quick, Levi's 36, and the bloke went, sorry, Levi's 36, what, a pair, shall I wrap them, shall I wrap, just wrap whatever it is, do you want to look, no, I'm not looking when you're putting it in the bag, please, right, well, 36 white stories, well, don't say anything.
I've told you 36 Levi's, and put it in a bag and charge me for it.
Yeah.
I don't want to discuss it further.
Yeah.
There was one,
there we go.
There was one about a woman whose husband died, and she had him cremated.
Yeah.
And made like a little egg timer out of him. Mm. And she said, I did that, so it can still help around the kitchen.
Well, that might be true. That might be a joke.
That's quite sweet.
That might be
that
true.
That is true story, again. It was all-
No, not again, because the ones I just told weren't. Nor is the boiling the brains in a bag curry microwave.
Head story, true.
Yeah. That's all. I'd like to play a beautiful song now by Cat Stevens called Lily White. It's lovely.
A song for the lovers room?
Yeah. The big sale.